I wonder, have you ever heard of the wicked Bible? The wicked Bible. You're saying to yourself, that's a strange name for the Bible. Well, there is actually a Bible in the world today that is known as the wicked Bible. There are only, I think, 11 copies of this particular Bible. It was commissioned in the year 1631 by King Charles. And he commissioned a printer by the name of Robert Barker to print copies of the scriptures. But whenever Mr. Barker had finished the printing of God's word, he realized that there was a mistake. Now, it might have seemed to be a very small mistake, because it was just one little word that was found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. And instead of reading, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," it read, "Thou shalt commit adultery." The word "not" had been left out. That's why it's called the Wicked Bible. As I've already said, there's only 11 copies of that Bible in the world today. There's actually a copy of it in the British Library in London today, and you can go there and you can see it. And it's opened at the very page where the mistake was made, at Exodus chapter 20, and you can read verse 14 where the word "not" was left out. Now, the Wicked Bible, I think, is a Bible that a lot of people would like to use today. It's a Bible that a lot of people would claim today, because sad to say, there are so many people, and as far as they're concerned, the Bible does say, "Thou shalt commit adultery," because they are guilty of adultery and uncleanness. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible does not say, "Thou shalt commit adultery." The scriptures actually teach that we're not to commit adultery. The seventh commandment says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Let's remember the importance of this commandment. As we've already said today, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke on the subject of adultery in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount. And you know, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about something, we need to pay heed. I believe that there are different kinds of adultery, and I want us to consider the different kinds of adultery that people can be guilty of today. I believe, first of all, that there's physical adultery. What people would think about when they hear the seventh commandment. Physical, literal adultery. Someone who's married, having a relationship with someone else outside their marriage. That's what we generally think of when we mention adultery. You know, people today make light of adultery. You hear people today talking about having a fling, having an affair, playing around, fooling around. People make light of it. But you know, the Bible says that it's sin. The Bible calls it sin, and it's a very serious sin. You see, the Lord wants us to realize today the importance of marriage. Marriage is a very wonderful thing. Monogamous marriage, as we talk about the union of one man and one woman for life, it is a very special thing. It's a very beautiful thing. And it's just as if the Lord is saying to us in the seventh commandment, don't spoil it. Don't spoil something that's beautiful. Don't mar something that's precious. You see, the word adultery literally means to mar something. It means to spoil something. It means to pollute something. And the Lord is saying to us in this commandment, I have ordained marriage, and it's a very special thing, and I don't want you to break out of the marriage relationship and harm yourself. You see, the Ten Commandments were not given by the Lord to spoil our lives. Some people kind of have the idea that God decided that he would give the Ten Commandments just to make our lives miserable, just to be a killjoy, just to be a spoil sport. But you know, friends, that's not the case. God gave us the Ten Commandments because he didn't want us to hurt ourselves. God is saying in this commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, because I don't want you to hurt yourselves. If you do commit adultery, you'll hurt yourself. You'll bring pain and anguish upon yourself and others. So please don't do it. The Lord is really saying, I'm thinking about you. Can you see the positive side of this commandment? Can you see the positive side of all 10 commandments? Every one of them are given so that we will not hurt ourselves. Can you see how gracious a God we have? Do you see today, friend, as you listen to God's word, the kind of God that we worship today? He's a God who cares about us. And you know, the old devil comes to us and he tempts us. And he brings temptation before us. And just as he did to Eve in the Garden of Eden all those years ago, he tries to allure us into sin. And you know, he paints the picture of sin being so enjoyable. If you do this, you will experience great pleasure. But he doesn't mention anything about the negative side of sin. He doesn't even mention sin. He doesn't even want you to think of whatever his temptation is. He doesn't want you to think of it as sin. He doesn't want you to think of it as something that's wrong. He wants to tempt you. He wants to lure you into committing adultery or committing some other sin because he knows that you're going to hurt yourself. But we have a God in heaven today who cares for you, and he cares so much for you that he doesn't want you to hurt yourself. You see, whenever a person commits adultery, they not only hurt themselves, but they hurt their children. And you know, whenever we think about this commandment, we need to remember the children. The children that are caught up in a situation where one of the partners in a marriage has committed adultery, the little children are damaged. The little children are harmed. You see, whenever a father or a mother breaks out of the marriage relationship and they commit adultery with another person, really they're saying to the children, you don't matter. You're not as important as my momentary pleasure with this other person. My commitment to you doesn't really matter. I would rather have this relationship, commit this adultery with this other person, rather than be a faithful husband or wife. You're not as important. And the little children are hurt. And they're damaged. And they're marred. You know, I believe whenever the Lord gave this commandment, I believe he was not only thinking about the couple who are married, but I believe that he was thinking about the little ones that had come from that marriage. The Lord is thinking about the children. You see, children are very important to the Lord. More important than we could ever imagine. And you know, the other day I was just talking to someone about children, and I was just saying we could learn so much from the children. They could teach us many a lesson. You see, sometimes as adults we think that we know it all. We think that we have it all sussed out, and we think that, yeah, well, we have nothing to learn, and we have this great opinion of ourselves. But you know, I believe actually the Lord would say to us, look at the children. You're not actually all that you think you are. If you want to be what If you want to be the person that you should be, look at the children. Learn from the little ones. You know, as adults, is it not true that we're so full of pride? That we're so full of greed? That we're so full of selfishness? That we're so full of that grieves God? So many things in our lives that we can't even see and we don't even realize that are in our lives, but they're there. And the Lord comes to us and he says, look at the children. Look at the little ones. They're so forgiving. They don't hold on to grudges. Something happens to them and 5 minutes later they've forgotten about it. We could learn so much from the children. Is it any wonder that the Lord Jesus Christ took the little ones up in his arms and blessed them? Is it any wonder that he said, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven? Yes, friends, whenever a person commits adultery, the little children are hurt. Physical adultery is a very serious thing. You see, the marriage relationship is a very wonderful relationship. The marriage relationship is an intimate relationship. It's the closest relationship on earth. It's even closer than the relationship between a parent and a child. The marriage relationship is a very, very unique relationship. And sexual relations within the marriage are a very pure thing. The sexual aspect to the marriage is a very pure thing. It's part of the marriage that God has blessed. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, that marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. You know, the bed is undefiled in the marriage relationship. I think sometimes in Ulster we've got this idea that somehow to have an intimate relationship is a sinful thing. But God pronounces his blessing upon it. The union of one man and one woman for life, it's a very intimate and a very special thing. But I tell you, friends, whenever a person breaks out of that relationship and they enter into a sexual relationship with another person outside the marriage, it's not honorable and it's defiled. You see, people today don't see the seriousness of it. Whenever two people are married, they become one flesh. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, that which God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. In other words, woe betide the person who comes in between a married couple and divides them. Woe betide the person who commits adultery with a married person. Woe betide the individual who comes between a husband and a wife. It's a most serious thing. But sad to say, it has happened in many marriages in recent years. On July the 29th, 1981, one of the most highly publicized and glamorous weddings in history took place. An estimated audience of 750 million people worldwide, 4,500 pots of fresh flowers lined the route to St. Paul's Cathedral. 2,500 people crowded that grand church where more than 75 technicians with 21 cameras worked to enable the world to watch this wedding. For many people, this was a modern fairy tale. A royal prince weds a lovely lady in a grand cathedral surrounded by adoring subjects. They were the envy of millions. They were rich, young, and handsome. It was a marriage made in heaven. Sadly, we know that the fairy tale became a nightmare. The couple grew more and more distant. The storybook marriage made in heaven eventually collapsed into adultery and divorce. I'm sure you know the marriage that I'm talking about. The marriage of the Prince of Wales to Lady Diana. How sad. But you know what happened to the Prince of Wales and his bride? What happened to them, sad to say, has happened in many marriages across the land. Many marriages have been marred by the sin of adultery. So there's physical adultery, first of all. I want to move on to what we could call mental adultery. Mental adultery. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks about mental adultery. You notice what he says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery, but... Whenever the Savior says, but, we need to prick up our ears. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. In his heart. Whenever a man or a woman looks lustfully upon another person, they are committing adultery with that person in their heart. It's as if they're committing adultery in the mind. It's mental adultery. Whenever a person, a married person, thinks about another person outside the marriage relationship in a wrong way, they're actually breaking the seventh commandment. You see, friends, there's a whole lot of people today who think, well, I've never committed adultery. I've never broken the seventh commandment. I've never had a relationship with someone else outside the marriage. But I wonder, friends, have we ever had a lustful thought about another person outside the marriage? Even once. Have you ever dwelt upon an image in your mind about another person? Have you ever thought in a wrong way about another person? Even just once. Nobody else saw it. Nobody knows that you did it. Your husband or your wife don't know that you had that thought. Your children don't know. The people at the church don't know. The pastor doesn't know. Nobody knows. But God knows. And you see, even if you've only had that thought once in your entire life, you've broken the seventh commandment, you've committed adultery, and you're guilty. You know, our world today is full of lust. It's everywhere. And you see, today people have got love and lust mixed up. People in our world today talk about love when they actually mean lust. People have such a strange understanding of love. Love is not lust. We've often spoken before about love. Love is showing that other person in a practical way that you care for them. The greatest example of love was the Lord Jesus Christ bearing our sins on Calvary's cross, shedding his blood in our place. He didn't deserve to be judged. He didn't deserve to die, but he became our substitute. And greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's true love. But in our world today, people know so little of love. It's all about lust. Have you ever lusted? Man in the meeting today, woman in the meeting today, have you ever lusted even once? If you have, that makes you a sinner. You're condemned in God's sight. You deserve hell. But the good news is today that the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for your adultery. The Lord Jesus Christ, whenever he shed his blood on Calvary, he was paying for your adultery. He was making atonement For your adultery, whether you've actually committed adultery with another person physically, or whether it's just in the mind, whether it's mental adultery, as far as God is concerned, they're both the same. They're both equally bad. And God says to you, dear friend, today, I find you guilty. But if you want forgiveness, it's available. Now, it's not cheap. It cost the Son of God everything. But it's absolutely free to you. It can't be bought. It can't be earned. It's possible, dear friend, for you to be forgiven. That's why we don't just say today, oh, thou shalt not commit adultery, and if you've committed adultery, there's no hope for you. That's not the message of the gospel. That wouldn't be a gospel. The gospel is good news. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus died in your place. Actually, whenever you read the Old Testament scriptures, you find that the punishment for adultery was death. You can go home today. You go home and read it for yourself. Leviticus chapter 20. The person who was guilty of adultery was to be put to death. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord Jesus was put to death for adulterers? And therefore there's no reason for you to perish. Mental adultery. What about those of us who are forgiven, those of us who are already saved today? What's the lesson, or what are the lessons for us? How can we avoid committing adultery, whether it's physical or mental? Well, first of all, I want to say, and I want to speak about the importance of controlling ourselves. Controlling ourselves. We need to control our eyes. Because the devil wants to get evil thoughts into our minds, and the only way they can do that is through the eyes, as sometimes we talk about eye gate. So we need to be so careful about the things we look at. The psalmist said in Psalm 101, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. May God help us to control our eyes. If we're weak in this area, if we're careless in this area, then the devil has a foothold. And you see, the Lord would say to us today, we need to control ourselves. Don't look. Don't touch. But then the Lord would say to us today, not only control yourselves, but cover yourselves. Now, we're getting to a very practical aspect of this commandment here. Cover yourselves. Cover up. You know, we live in a world where people love to show naked flesh. And as far as many people are concerned, the more naked flesh, the better. Well, I want to say, husband or wife, the only person who should see your naked flesh is your marriage partner. Your naked flesh is only for your husband or your wife. It's not for the world. It's not for everybody else. So sad today that there are people who are married, and those people are going around in public today, and they're flaunting themselves. It seems to be that, as far as they're concerned, they just want to show as much naked flesh as possible, and they just want to show it off to the world. But it's not for the world. It's for your husband or your wife. Yes, it is important to cover up. You see, when a person doesn't cover up, then they cause temptation for another person. Another person looking on at that individual, the evil thoughts begin to enter into their minds. Thoughts of adultery. Thoughts of uncleanness. I know this is very practical, but I believe it's important. There are things that need to be said from pulpits today that aren't being said. And the devil's having a heyday. There's physical adultery, there's mental adultery, then there's national adultery. National adultery. We need to finish off, but just a few more thoughts as we finish. National adultery. You know, the Bible speaks about nations turning away from God. It tells us in Mark's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in Mark chapter 8, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Matthew chapter 16, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. There's the Lord Jesus on two occasions. He speaks about an adulterous generation. In other words, a nation, a people who are guilty of adultery, national adultery. It's so sad whenever a nation commits adultery, whenever a nation turns away from the only true and living God. But you know what, friends? Our nation has done it. Well, I was going to say Great Britain, but I don't think I'll say that. It wouldn't be appropriate. Britain today has committed national adultery. You say, well, how can that be? We have turned away from the Lord. We have turned away from the God who has been so faithful and good to us down through the years, and we have turned to other gods. You take the New Age movement today. It seems to be that everybody's a New Ager. People talking about climate change. Did you know that climate change is a very important part of the New Age movement? Nature, people worshipping the earth, talking about Mother Earth. Of course, evolution is a very important part of the New Age movement. Evolutionary thinking. Reincarnation, that you come back again and that you come back several times and you come back as perhaps an animal or you come back as a bird the next time and you keep coming back. Whenever you die, you come back and you live as something else again. Reincarnation, it's Hinduism. Of course, the whole idea of tolerance today, anything goes, that's a part of the New Age movement. Today is known as Earth Day. Every year, the 22nd of April, the New Age movement celebrates Earth Day. People worshipping the Earth. How can we save the Earth? We have to do something to save planet Earth. Ruling God out of it. No, actually, friends, the reality is the only person who can save planet Earth is the Lord Himself. But you see, people are all worried about saving the earth, the literal earth. And, you know, people are concerned about avoiding some kind of catastrophe in years to come where the earth will burn up. The resources will run out. It'll be a disaster. People are always talking about saving the earth. Isn't it so sad that people don't realize that their souls need to be saved? That's where people need to start. Let's stop talking about saving the earth, saving the planet. What about saving our souls? The saving of the soul is the most important issue of all. Then fourthly, there's spiritual adultery. There's not only physical adultery, mental adultery, and national adultery, but there is spiritual adultery. What do we mean? Well, we're speaking here about a Christian who has turned away from the Lord, a Christian who has become unfaithful. The Bible speaks about spiritual adultery in Jeremiah chapter 3. It speaks about backsliding children. Have you backslidden, dear friend? Was there a time whenever you walked with God and you lived for the Lord and you took your stand for Him? There was a time whenever certain things were out of bounds to you. You wouldn't do certain things, but now you've just become careless and, well, you're not too bothered. Thursday night comes, you're not too bothered if you miss the prayer meeting. Sunday night comes, you're not too bothered if you miss the prayer meeting. Not too bothered if you miss the outreach. Not too bothered if you miss the services. You're not too worried about the family altar in the home. You've backslidden. And Ulster's full of backsliders. But here's the good news. Jeremiah chapter 3 goes on to say, "Turn, backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you." Isn't that wonderful? We often say that the Lord is married to the backslider. Well, here it is. And the Lord says that He's married to you, but you've committed adultery. You've been unfaithful to Him. You've wandered away from Him. And you're committing adultery with other gods today. The Lord Jesus Christ invites you back to Himself today. He invites you back to the cross today. Will you come? I was so glad that recently in our church there was someone who came back to the Lord, a dear lady who was restored to the Lord. You could be the next. Why don't you come back to Him today? We've thought about adultery today, a very serious subject. But the good news is that there's forgiveness for adulterers. It's not the unforgivable sin. I think of David, the great king of Israel. David was guilty of adultery, but whenever he confessed his sin to the Lord, it tells us in 2 Samuel chapter 12, David said, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin." David hardly more than had the confession out of his mouth when the Lord had forgiven him. The forgiveness was immediate. Can you see how quickly God wants to forgive? Oh, how gracious He is. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Or who has grace so rich and free? And then I think of that poor woman in John chapter 8 who was taken in adultery. My, those old religious leaders, they wanted her stoned. They knew nothing of grace. But the Lord Jesus Christ defended her and He said, "Neither do I condemn thee." And then He said, "Go and sin no more. I don't condemn you. I pardon you. I forgive you. But sin no more. Don't go back to your old life." You know, friends, that's the lesson for us today. We can't have Jesus and our sin. Yes, there's got to be repentance. May the Lord grant to each one of us that repentance. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we thank Thee today that there is forgiveness for the sinner. Whatever sin they have committed, whether it's adultery or some other sin, Lord, we thank Thee and we praise Thee today that there is pardon, that there is redemption, that there is restoration, and it's all because of the finished work of the cross. Lord, we do pray if there's any in the meeting today who know not Christ, they've never been born again. And Lord, today as the law of God has been presented to them, they can see, Lord, they now realize their sinfulness. Lord, they now realize that they're condemned. Oh Lord, help them today to turn to Christ. Lord, give them that grace. Give them that ability to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for those of us who are saved. Oh God, we know that we are so weak And Lord, unless you keep us, we will fall. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. O Lord, keep us, we pray. Be with us now, Father, as we sing our final hymn, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One verse of the final hymn, 537. 537.